dari bayi itu udah sampai di bayi. Hare Krishna. I also wanted first canto of Bhagavatam. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari. Gopi Jana Vallabha Giri Varadhari. Gopi Jana Vallabha Giri Varadhari. Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana. Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana. Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana. Namuna Tiravana Chari. Namuna Tiravana Chari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari. Gopi Jana Vallabha Giri Varadhari. Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana. Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana. Namo Nati Ravana Chari. Munati Ravana Chari. Rara Madhava Kunja Vihari. Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari. Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari. Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari. Shri Radha Kunja Vihari ki. Shri Gaur Nitai ke, Leela Prabhupada ke, Ananta Koti Vaishnava Vrinda ke, Nitai Gaur Premanandi. Om Ajnanat Mirandasya Jnanan Jana Shalakaya Chakshuhuvan Meelitam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Shri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Sthapitam Jena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kura Makhyam Dadati Svapadantikam. Vandeham Shri Guruho Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Guru and Vaishnavamsha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजना सखितं कृष्ण चैतन्य देवं श्री राधा कृष्ण पादान सह गण दलिता श्री विशाखान्विदांश्च नमः ओम इष्टपदाय कृष्ण पृष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्ति वेदांत स्वामिनि नामिने नमस्ते सारस्वती देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्य देश तारिणे नमो महावदन्याय कृष्ण प्रेम प्रदायते कृष्णाय कृष्ण चैतन्य नाम्ने गौरत्विषे नमः। हे कृष्ण करुणा सिंधो दीनबंधो जगत्पते गोपेश गोपिका कांत राधा कांत नमस्तुते सप्त कांचन गौरांगी श्री राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरि प्रिये वांछाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपा सिंधुभ्य एव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः। जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभो नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासदि गौरभक्तवृंद हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण। Recently, I've been doing a series of classes on the topic of Bhagavad Gita for corporates. So I will take the next in the series. So I have done almost three or four till now. One we did on be impartial, avoid groupism. We did one. Second one we did on contemplating on enemies' welfare. Actually, contemplating on the welfare of all, including enemies. And third one yesterday we did on personality ethic versus character ethic. So today I'm going in the same series from the first chapter of Bhagavad Gita. Today we will do on this success and victory for God's side. Success and victory for those on God's side. This is from Bhagavad Gita, first chapter, text 14 to 20. Success and victory for those on God's side. So you find that. Bhagavad Gita is full of valuable lessons even for our everyday life, while of course giving very important lessons for our ultimate welfare. Like yesterday we were discussing on this personality ethic and character ethic, how Duryodhana is so diplomatic, talking to each and every Kuru elder like Bhishma or Drona. We were talking yesterday. Despite all his great plans and ideas and everything, he missed out a very important factor from his calculation. What was the factor? Krishna factor. Everything else he took very good care, but he had forgotten Krishna. And he also counted Krishna amongst mortals, or counted Krishna amongst one of the normal people. Because he committed a mathematical mistake in his calculation, he got the wrong result at the end. So, in the same manner, I was telling in the Stephen Covey's book, Seven Habits, right at the outset he says the purpose of that book, why he wrote that book. It's one of the million sellers, bestseller book. So there he says, in the last 50 years, a new trend has come up, he is saying, all over the world, in the field of management. to teach people only PMA and PRT, these two things, positive mental attitude and positive, I mean, this public relationship techniques, public relation techniques, which is how to speak, how to speak gently, and how to speak sweet words of flattery, to make people do what you want them to do. That is speaking. And also behavior, how you behave with others in a way that you can win them. How to win people and, what is that? How to influence people and win friends, things like that. Very, very superficial it is. So they have been teaching the tools and techniques for doing these things, speaking and behavior and everything. And the last 50 years, he says, without having to have the core character of many things, he says. He says, those who are true leaders, he's saying, there are many, many qualities. He's giving like Krishna gives qualities in the 12th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, isn't it? Non-enviousness, Advaishta, Surubhutana, Maitra, Trane, Nirmamo, Nirahankara, Samadukha, Sukha, all those qualities. So even Stephen Covey writes all those qualities, many of them. He writes and he says, these are core qualities of an individual. If one does not cultivate these core qualities, his superficial behavior will not last long. He says, for example, if one is externally behaving very nicely, but internally manipulative, and he is motivated, then what will happen? Other people will sense duplicity, and then in the long run, he cannot get long enduring success. He says, that's what Duryodhana did. He got the king of Madras, Shalya, on his side by trick, isn't it? And he is also speaking many tricky verses in a diplomatic way to flatter the people. And such kind of personality ethic oriented superficial techniques and tools will not bring about ultimate happiness to the individual or for others. And the characteristic is the core. So even in that book he says that characteristic may take long time to cultivate. Like one interesting observation we made recently, one of the boys who sent somebody to preach. Of course, we have many boys preaching in different places. So this boy is going for book distribution, distributing the books. He says that this is the most pleasant activity for me. Why? You meet new people and they don't know who you are and you don't know who they are. So I like this activity more than preaching and bringing people into voice and cultivating them properly, he said. And I asked him why. He said, if I cultivate the boys and bring them, they start observing me very closely. They check about my morning program. They check my chanting. They check how I speak, how I behave. They are very closely observed with a microscope, electron microscope or something like that. They put me and they watch. And they say, Prabhu, you said this in the class and you are doing this. They find fault. And Prabhu, it becomes really very difficult for me. Because you have to be very pure, if you have to bring boys and cultivate them. So I have come up with a new idea. He said, what is the idea? Just distribute books and keep quiet. Don't bring people, DYS and BBG and all you do, and bring them, into voice and everything. How do you like my suggestion? He asked me. So I wrote back to him, saying that, you see, if you distribute books and don't cultivate people, you cannot solidify the devotees. But if you do teaching like voice style, you can solidify devotees. You can make solid devotees 10, 16 rounds, following all the regular principles and everything. They can go for initiation and become very powerful leaders in future. So I said, let them watch you, let them find fault with you, and you keep on struggling to improve, and that's what we are meant for. To become better devotees, to become more pure devotees, rather than saying that, I'll be in the good books of everyone, and hum chup tum chup. I will not find fault with you and you will not find fault with me, so we will go on like that. So I told him that let people come watch us and let us watch them, let us admit that we have problems, we have to improve. So I told him, then he thought about it deeply and agreed. Yes, Prabhuji, what you are saying is correct. And I was telling. So it is said it requires charisma to attract people, but it requires character to hold them. the whole people, we need character. So, Krishna also, that's why he talks about all the qualities of a devotee in the 12th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita. First of all, today we are going to talk about, success and victory only for those on God's side. Which are devotees? Success and victory only for devotees, it says. But first of all, we have to know who a devotee is. Just by registering our name in an organization as a life member, we don't become devotee. Attaching ourselves to an institution. I am an ISKCON member, so I am a devotee. No. We don't become devotees like that. Or even by being besieged by devotees on all sides, surrounded by devotees, we don't become devotees either. You know? So, the 12th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna says, who is a devotee? If you want to know, you can read 2.12-20, Bhagavad Gita. Series of verses, many verses. The first qualification is Vishnu Bhakta Smrito Deva Asurastha Vipriyaya. One who is surrendered to Lord Vishnu or Krishna and Asurastha Vipriyaya. Whatever Krishna or Vishnu says, I am against it. That is Asuras. Devotees means one who is surrendered to Lord, one who cooperates with Lord's plan. The Lord has made a plan in this material world. What for? For deliverance of all the living beings. Isn't it? He has made a plan. He has established the Varnashrama, Dharma, civilization, culture. He has given duty for everyone, for all the living entities. So that is very basic and to begin with. Once you perform all those duties. And then, when one understands this, then there is Karma Yoga, Jnana Yoga, Ashtanga Yoga, Bhakti Yoga. All the yogas are given. Why? Yogas are all... Yoga means it comes from the word yuj. Yuj means connection to God. So, one has to re-establish connection to God and most importantly, samsiddhir haritoshanam. One should act for the pleasure of Vishnu, like that. So, in the first chapter of Bhagavatam, you will find there is a verse where Bhishma Pitamaha is saying that verse, Aho kashtam, aho anyayam, yadyuyam dharmanandana, jivitam, narhatam, Jivitam Naharatam Krishna Vipra Dharma Achyuta Ashraya. There he says three things. Vipra Dharma Achyuta Ashraya. Ashraya means having taken shelter. Vipra Dharma Achyuta. Three things a devotee takes shelter. Vipra means the Vaishnavas. Dharma means the principles of scriptures. Achyuta means Lord Krishna. So he is a devotee. The devotee takes shelter of Krishna, Krishna's devotees and the Shastra. This is the meaning of devotee. So, and by taking shelter of these three things, what is the meaning of taking shelter of? Very attentively understanding what is right, what is wrong, how should one live, how should one not live, what to do, what not to do, and applying the prescriptions and prohibitions in life. One should lead one's life and the course of living, then one will get all those lists of qualities given in the 12th chapter. Advaishta, Sarvabhutana. One will become non-envious and become friendly with all living beings in the world. Maitra Karuniya, Nirmamo. One will become free from operatorship. One will become free from ahankar, false ego. Then one will become Santushta, always satisfied. Santushta Satatam, always satisfied with whatever comes of its own accord. But at the same time, one will not be complacent, jatatma. One will be endeavoring to attain Krishna. One will have great eagerness to attain Krishna. With great determination. In this way, he goes on. Santushta satatam yogi yatatma adhidanshaya mayyarpita manobuddhi yomad bhakta samepriya yasmano udvijite loko lokano udvijite chaya. He will not be of any inconvenience to any living entities in this world. And when other living entities cause inconvenience to him, he will tolerate it. He is saying, Yasman naha udvijito loke lokano udvijite chaya. Harsha amarsha bayodvegir mukto yasrima priya. In harsha amarsha, in happiness and distress, harsha amarsha bhaya udvegir. He is absolutely free from all these lower natures like, fear and attachment, anger, avarice, and
sukha dukha. He remains above these things. Very beautiful verses. If you read them, very, very nice verses. It goes on. He gives very simply, Aniketa. Theramati. He has a very fixed intelligence in Krishna, which doesn't waver away. Aniketa, Theramati, Bhaktiman, Metriyon. This way he goes on. I only just quoted a few of them. So, a devotee's life is explained by Prabhupada in one of the purports. He says that that if good things come in his life, a devotee thinks, my Lord, I don't deserve these things. How Krishna is sending all these things? Such good things he is sending in my life. Thank you, Krishna. You are giving me more than what I deserve. And when suffering comes, what devotee takes? I deserve this and much more. He feels like that. And then Krishna is only giving me a token of what I am meant to suffer. Out of love for me, he has minimized. Like that devotee feels. He considers praise and insult equally in the material world. Tulya ninda astuter mauni santato yena kena chit. He does not take insults seriously. He does not take praise also seriously either. Isn't it? We retaliate by taking insults seriously, and we reflect our joy when we hear praises. So he doesn't take both these things seriously. Many nice things, he says. So, in this way, the devotee is, the first prime qualification of the devotee is Krishnaika Sharanam. Out of the 26 qualities, the prime quality, which is called as Mukta Lakshan. There are two lakshanas, Krishna lakshan and Swarupa lakshan. Swarupa lakshan is Krishnaika Sharanam. And Tatastha lakshanas are 25 qualities, which are less important. What is the most important quality? Krishnaika Sharanam. Actually, by understanding this fact, we can become sympathetic to other devotees. Whenever I used to become very upset with devotees, I used to remember this 26 qualities of Vaishnava, out of which the Krishnaika Sharanam quality, if somebody possesses, then they already are qualified to be a devotee. They have got certificate. Krishnaika Sharanam certificate. Prabhu, Krishnaika Sharanam certificate I have, can show it. Surrender to Krishna. Which means, of course, we have to accept whatever Krishna says in scriptures and try to follow them. So if we have that one quality, then we can count them as devotees. And the other 25 qualities may gradually come in a devotee. Slowly. Many times we all find fault with devotees. Say, this devotee is overeating. This devotee is oversleeping. This devotee is irresponsible. This devotee is foolish. This devotee is, passionate and all that. So many complaints we have. So all those complaints will be resolved when they get these 25 qualities, which will appear slowly. And they will gradually get them. But the prime quality they have, what is it? Krishnaika Sharanam. Yeah. Which is most vital quality. If that is not there, then all the 25 qualities are useless. Halava bhakti kuto mahadguna. Manoratena satidavatopaki. So, non-devotees many times have those other 25 qualities. But they don't have this primary quality of Sarupa Lakshana of Krishnaika Sharanam. Duryodhana was also very diplomatic, very brilliant, very smart in many respects. But he lacked the primary quality of surrender to Krishna. So one is surrender to Krishna. Even if a devotee lacks in other qualities, or a devotee is deficient in his competence, then Krishna will compensate for it. Krishna says in the scriptures. So what he says? Yoga kshemam vahamyaham. I deserve what they have and I provide what they lack. Like recently I was in Bombay. I was with his Gonadhara Swami Maharaj in his car. So he had just then given a lecture to the Gopal's Garden parents and teachers and everything. They are coming up with a new educational board called as IGCSE, which is actually University of Cambridge. So they are going to spend a lot of money for every child. And when this system has come now, it's coming up now in the school, the whole system of teaching is going to change there. How they are going to teach, the children don't have to carry heavy books in their back. So they had put a teacher show where they showed child having a donkey type of ears, carrying a big load on the back. They don't have to carry. Huh? So they can just go to school free, with a free hand, with very little, one or two notebooks. Huh? And children will not have heavy homework to do. Huh? And they don't have to be sitting in the classroom and sleeping. Huh? You know, teacher is going on dictating something or whatever. How the whole teaching will be in the garden, you know, going to company visits, and visiting places and seeing. So they gave an example. Say for example, to tell the children that, you know, you study this history book and you vomit, as they often do. Instead of that, they will say that, you know, you go to a place and you do, you know, ask some questions, read some newspapers, you know, collect something, cut and paste and make some, you know, collage or something, and you present. They do more activity kind of thing. So when they present all that, at the end Maharaj was speaking, Maharaj said, I heard them saying that the child's burden is reduced, child's stress is reduced. And then Maharaj said, but the parent's stress will be increased. Because the parents and teachers have to be more responsible and they have to give a lot of time for the children. You know, and the parents also have to be very creative, you know, and very intelligent, because the that kind of group work and all to do and give them ideas and, you know, spend a lot of time with them. It involves a lot of time. For example, in TDC teacher training course also, you know, one concept they will teach you thoroughly in 1 to 2 hours, for example. They're doing a lot of activity, everyone. Everyone enjoys also, but you have not learned much. Only one concept you will learn. Teaching like this style is Vedic style. One person speaks and everyone hears. So you teach even 5-10 concepts. And you can cover a lot. One thing is, people may sometimes get tired and they fall, because you have to be internally alert for this style of Vedic teaching. The audience is internally alert and the speaker is speaking. What the audience would be doing is, because of internally being awakened, they will keep on relating it to their life when they are hearing. So actually there is activity going on. Where is it going on? Internally it's going on. So, but in modern teaching, there is external activity, a lot of activity. Because internal activity requires more maturity. So like the Parikshit is hearing and Shukadeva is speaking, just sitting and speaking 7 days, 7 nights. Isn't it? Very sad. Anyway, Maharaj was telling that the teachers have to be more creative, and I mean, Maharaj was saying that the parents have to be more responsible. So the car, I asked Maharaj, how are the parents and teachers going to be so intelligent? Because I have had teachers in my school days who are teachers of very high character, and very high morality, and very godly, saintly and all that. So if the parents have to give support to the children, they have to set a very high example, and to become teachers of the children and be a part of their education and everything. Maharaj said, If they are sincere devotees, then Krishna will supply whatever they lack. Maharaj was telling. Even if they don't have a creative intelligence to, you know, do help the child and everything, you know, we don't have to worry. First let them be proper devotees. And then whatever they are lacking, Krishna will supply. He was telling. So remembering this point. So, throughout the scriptures you will find examples that one who has chosen Krishna in his life, he is a very fortunate person. Like Arjuna chose Krishna when he went to Dwaraka, isn't it? Duryodhana, he made a miscalculation by accepting Narayana Sena. But Arjuna was very smart, truly smart, because he accepted Krishna. So, you often must have heard Prabhupada saying, Krishna is like the one, and all the material qualifications are like a string of zeros. 1 0. If you put 1 in front of 1 0, it's 10. If you put 1 in front of 2 zeros, then 3 zeros, 4 zeros. The more the material qualification, they are simply a string of zeros. But you put 1, then they get value. Same thing here also. Arjuna chose Krishna, because of which his qualification became very extraordinary. Actually, it is not that, you know, Arjuna or Yudhishthira, they are all weaklings. So they needed somebody. Prabhupada explains in one of the Kunti Maharani's teachings purport that the Pandavas were probably the most chivalrous Kshatriya kings of their times in the entire world. Every one of them was a uniquely talented king. Vyasa Maharaj could throw spears, he could throw javelins. Sometimes people think Vyasa Maharaj is very soft hearted. When it comes to battle, he is very powerful. He would throw spears. Similarly, Arjuna was famous for archery. Bhima was famous for gada fight. And Nakul Sahadev for sword fighting. Yeah. And they were all actually number one in the whole world. In the Olympics. If you see Olympics games, somebody becomes number one, gold medal and all that they get. These were like the Olympic champions. The entire world. So, nobody could beat them, but still they were dependent on the mercy of Lord Krishna. That is why they are called devotees. A devotee may be very competent and very talented, but a devotee is not proud of his talents. A devotee doesn't think that I can do anything and everything on my own without God. He doesn't think like that. If somebody thinks like that, my own talent, I have achieved this great thing, if a devotee thinks, that means he is foolish. You have to know, I may endeavor a lot, man proposes. Yeah. Once we were in Yatra, when we were in Mayapur, so we wanted to go to some particular place and the road was blocked. And then we got down from the buses and we sat in the lecture and Maharaj started. Actually, we are supposed to have this lecture somewhere else, Maharaj said. We couldn't reach there. So man proposes, Lord Chaitanya disposes, Maharaj said. You know? So, it's not in our hands ultimately, you know? Whatever Lord wants, he will do it. So, a devotee knows very well, I am simply a puppet in Krishna's hands. Krishna actually is orchestrating me. He's a puppeteer. A devotee understands this very well. Krishna will adjust the climate, he will adjust the world, he will adjust the people, adjust the situations, adjust me, adjust everyone, everything. And then he will make whatever has to happen, happen. That is possible for Krishna. He is completely convinced of that. This is the meaning of learning to depend on Krishna. Internally we should learn to depend in our mind on intelligence, on Krishna. Actually if we depend on Krishna, if something happens which is unpleasant in our life, we'll be able to take it. Similarly, when we get success, we will not become prisoner of success when we get success. Sometimes when you get success, what happens? You become very proud. Why? Because we don't depend on Krishna. We are unable to give off the result to Krishna. Same way when we get failure, one becomes completely bogged down. Just like you see this one Kartikeyan Rajaraman from abroad. Did you hear about him? This fellow is a South Indian and he went to US, he joined UCLA, UCLA University, famous university. So he completed his CA and his MBA and he joined the stock market there and he went way high. The amount of money he has saved, if you see, it's in such $1 million, you cannot even spell it out. So much money he made in the last so many years. Not a very old man. He had three children, one son. His son was a topper in a college. Similarly, his second son also, he had given the name Krishna. Second son, he had given the name Ganesha. Second son, he was in 9th standard. Third one was a daughter or somebody. Fourth standard or something. Three children and wife and husband. Good family. Making huge money. Billionaire. Living life like that. Now, recently due to recession, suddenly the market went down. It fell from the top to bottom. So when he saw the market collapsing, he came home and he became completely bogged down. So he took the gun, shot all his children on the head. He shot his wife. He shot himself also. And all of them died. See? This is the plight of a non-devotee. Non-devotee may get a big success in life. They may go way high. Because they don't depend on Krishna. When they get great success, they are floating in the sky, they are very proud. When they get failure, they kill themselves like this. That's it. So, I'm giving you just a recent example. This happened just over a week or two ago. Very recent. But this principle is there at all times. whether it is Vedic time or modern time. Hiranyakashipu, he got big success, right? He got the whole universe in his hands, except the three presiding deities, Brahma, Vishnu, Shiva. Every other demigod was bowing down to him. He could control the nature. You know, if I am feeling too hot in this room, maybe I will put the AC here. But he didn't have to put the AC, he could control the sun only. If it was too hot, he would look at the sun with eyebrows, twisting the eyebrows. Immediately the sun would reduce his temperature. Yeah, that was his power. So much control he had. he could control the rain. Yeah, if he saw it was raining, he had to go out. He would look out and immediately rain would stop. Our Mr. Hiranyakashipu is going out. Immediately rain would stop. You can imagine the power. Such might. So much power, so much control. Even he could get fruits out of season also, it is said. He could get mangoes in a non-mango season. He could get everything. But such a Hiranyakashipu, you find, wow, what is his success story? Yes, he got a very great success. He got success, but he did not depend on the Lord. Rather, he wanted to kill Lord Vishnu. And what was the result finally? He got killed. That is a tragic story. So, everything ended in a tragedy. You find. But killers can never be a success. Those who make one-sided attempt to enjoy the world without depending on the Lord will ultimately be doomed to failure. They have to get ultimately failure. Here, as I told you, Duryodhana made a miscalculation, isn't it? He thought, we are 100 Kauravas and Pandavas are 5. We have 11 Akshauhinis and they have only 7, isn't it? We have 10,000 Narayana Sena people and they have only 1 Krishna, useless, who didn't even carry any weapons, isn't it? He calculated like that. He doesn't even carry a weapon, simply a charioteer, what is the use? He thought like that. And he made a miscalculation. And what is the result? And who won? Jayastu Panduputranam, Esham Pakshe, Janardana. So in this series of verses, we will find how the Pandavas right from the beginning were greatly blessed. Vipra Dharma Achyuta Ashraya. Because they had taken shelter of Krishna and Vaishnavas and Dharma. I'll read a few verses and translations and we will discuss. This is text number 14, first chapter, 14th verse. Tata shvetai bhayai yukte mahatisyandane stito madhava pandavas chaiva divyau shankhau pradhadmatu. On the other side, both Lord Krishna and Arjuna, stationed on a grey chariot drawn by white horses, sounded their transcendental conchels. You see, here the word is used, divyau, shankhau, tadat matuhu. Divyau means transcendental. Why is the conchal transcendental? That is true, but here why the word divyau is used, there is a reason. Madhava pantavascheva divyau, shankhau, tadat matuhu. Because it is held by Krishna and touched by the lips of Krishna, Krishna it has become transcendental. Even other conscious blunt by Arjuna, they are also divine because they are on Krishna's side. So they are also divine. And also Madhava means one who is the husband of the goddess of fortune. That means not only Krishna is sitting in the chariot, there is also Lakshmi in his chest. As Srivats. Right? You know the Srivats Chinha? There is a golden hair in the chest of Vishnu or Krishna, which is actually Lakshmi. That is the place of residence of Lakshmi. Sometimes Lakshmi comes out, she serves at his feet. But sometimes she is in the chest, the heart of Vishnu. So, while Krishna is in the battlefield, there is Lakshmi also there. Lakshmi means, Lakshmi Kamaksham is there. She is also a sign of opulence. So, Madhava, he is using the word Madhava. This is the first time Krishna's word, Krishna name is coming in Bhagavad Gita. In the very first word we find how Krishna is creating auspiciousness for Pandavas by his presence. First of all, Krishna's presence itself is auspicious. The Lakshmi is also present. And the chariot is given by whom? By Agni Dev. Agnidev gave charya. Agnidev gave the horses. Who gave the charya? Indra gave the chariot, right? Huh? And Agni gave the horses, correct? It was opposite. See, the chariot on which both the friends were seated had been donated by Agni, the fire god. Chariot was given by Agni. And the horses were given by Indra. The steeds, they were given by Indra. So they are all Lord devotees, devotees. Huh? Agni has given the chariot, Indra has given the horse, Krishna himself is sitting, in his chest there is Lakshmi sitting. And what is the flag in Arjuna's? Hanuman. Who is Hanuman? He is also a pure devotee of the Lord. Huh? And it is said when Arjuna's chariot was moving, Hanuman gave out war cry. Huh? Because Hanuman, no war cry they give, they shout, you know, the war cry. Huh? So Hanuman gave out the war cry, sitting on the flag. Why? Because Hanuman earlier had in one occasion promised that I will, you know, I will in future do this. I will occupy the dvaja and I will give out the war cry. Because Bhima and Hanuman are same tattva, no? Bhima, the Hanuman is also on this side, Pandava's side. And Hanuman is also a large devotee. So in this way, you find there is so much auspiciousness for Arjuna. See, next verse he says, Panchajanyam Rishikesho Devadattam Dhananjaya Paundram Dadmau Mahashankham Bhimakarma Vrakodaya. Lord Krishna blew his conch shell called Panchajanya. Arjuna blew his, the Devadatta, and Bhima, the voracious eater and performer of Herculean tasks, blew his terrific conch shell called Paundra. And then he is quoting all the other people. After saying all the conscious blowing, then he is saying, Saghosho dhartarashtranam shridayani vadarayat nabhascha pitavim chaiva tumuro abhyanu nadayan. The blowing of these different conscious became uproarious, vibrating both in the sky and on the earth. It shattered the hearts of the sons of Dhritarashtra. So Prabhupada writes in the purport, when Bhishma and others on the side of Duryodhana blew their respective conch shells, there was no heartbreaking on the part of the Pandavas. Such occurrences are not mentioned. But in this particular verse it is mentioned that the hearts of the sons of Dhritarashtra were shattered by the sounds vibrated by the Pandava party. Why? This is due to the Pandavas and their confidence in Lord Krishna. One who takes shelter of the Supreme Lord has nothing to fear, even in the midst of the greatest calamity. So, if a devotee is put even in the midst of greatest calamity, he has no fear. As Prabhupada says here, our Bali Maharaj was put in the greatest calamity. Of everything stripped off, he was rebuked by his relatives. He was chastised by his guru and he was ridiculed by the other demons that he has lost all the kingdom. Like that. He was bound by the Varuna Pash. He was stripped off of all the opulences that he had, all the wealth that he had accumulated. The whole universe was taken away from him. And he was bound by Varuna Pash with his head bowing down. He was standing there. Still, he is glorious. Why? He offered his head for the Lord to place his lotus feet, and he became victorious. See, this is the meaning of a devotee. Devotee can never face defeat. Devotee is always victorious, even in such a situation, even in the greatest calamity. The Lord became so pleased with Bali, he became his doorkeeper after seeing Bali surrender. And Prahlad was also subjected to great calamities. The purpose is in one place. Between the tug of war that happens between Prahlad and Hiranyakashipu, who always wins? Prahlad wins. In the war between Kamsa and Krishna, who wins? Krishna always wins. Kamsa is defeated. So demons are always defeated and the devotees always win. Like the demigods, for example, at one time they were weaklings. They were very, very weak because they had offended their guru. Indra had offended the Guru, and then because of that they had become very weak. But the demons had served Shukracharya, so they were very strong. And then when demigods, whenever they are in trouble, they will go to Vishnu. So they went to Vishnu, and Vishnu told them, right now, you know, the climate is not good for you. Atmosphere is not good for you. You are not going to win. It's better for you to make a truce with the demons and go for joining the milk ocean. So they were obedient to Lord Vishnu. So because demigods always obey Lord Vishnu, ultimately they emerged victorious. See, the Lord told, small, nobody should snatch any gifts that will come from this ocean. Because whenever you do endeavor, one of the tendencies is to snatch it. So he told, you should not snatch it. I will only give, the Lord said. Whoever deserves whatever they deserve, I will give. But you find that the demon snatched the pot of nectar when it came. So the demigods did not snatch because they obeyed the Lord. That is why they are asuras. You find. And the Lord also told them, whatever I decide for all of you, you should accept. So the Lord gave demigods the head side and the demons tail side. But the demons what? The head side. And the Lord swapped. The demigods got the tail side, they didn't mind. Why? It is given by Vishnu. If Vishnu is giving us, he is our master. Whatever he does, it is good for us. They accept that. See, this is the meaning of a devotee. A devotee accepts all the plans made by the Lord for him without hesitation. Be they good or, not so good according to the standard of the world. Devotee is ready to accept anything. Because devotee knows actually, whatever Krishna is doing is for my good ultimately. Sometimes Krishna may, make me very opulent as a millionaire or a billionaire. Sometimes he may make me a pauper. Either way, it's good for me. Krishna knows best for me. Devotee is convinced. You see? And then at the end of that pastime, you find the demigods getting Amrit. They are all enjoying Amrit very nicely. They get victory. They get success. And the demons, they did all possible things. They snatched away the, Amrit pot. They didn't cooperate with Lord Vishnu. They demanded them outside and everything. All that they did, finally they lost the result. They're fine, finished. They didn't get what they aimed at. So that's why here also he's saying, when the conscience are blown, the Dhritarashtra's sons, their hearts were shattered. But when the Kaurava party blew the conscience, there was no problem for the Pandavas. Then he's saying, Ata vyavasthitan drishtva dhartarashtran kutidvajah pravritte shastra sampate dhanurudyamya pandavah Hrishikesham tada vakyam idamaha mahipate. At that time, Arjuna, the son of Pandu, seated in the chariot, bearing the flag marked with Hanuman, took up his bow and prepared to shoot his arrows. O king, after looking at the sons of Dhritarashtra, born in military, Arjuna then spoke to Krishna these words. So here the flag marked with Hanuman. How Hanuman came here, there is a story. You all know this past time, once when Draupadi saw that 1,000-petaled lotus. Somewhere in the north, near the Meru Parvat, I think it's Kubera's zone, Kubera's area, there was a Mandakini Ganga flowing. So she saw that 1,000-petaled lotus, beautiful golden lotus. So she wanted that. So if a Kshatriya, if you want something with Kshatriya, what you should say, if you tell him, can I get that? She said, it is very, I heard that lotus is very difficult to get, nobody can get it. He must say, who said nobody can get it? I will go and get it. He immediately took his mace and he proceeded upward in the mountain, smashing all the stones to dust. And he went up. Of course, there was a monkey sitting under a tree. When Bhima was about to pass, he shouted at the monkey, hey, you are putting your tail, such long tail, midway, remove the tail, he said. Monkey said, my dear friend, I am such an old monkey that it is difficult for me even to move the tail. You pick it up, throw it aside, and you may proceed, he said. Then Bhima became very angry. He thought it was going to be very light. He wanted to pick it up and throw. But when he tried to pick up, it was so heavy. Such a heavy tail. He just couldn't even move it also. Huh? He asked, "Who are you? What kind of monkey are you? Your tail is so heavy." Huh? Then Bhima surrendered to that monkey. Who was that monkey? Hanumanji. Hanuman became very pleased with Bhima. And Hanuman also gave him details about how to get that lotus and everything. Huh? And he told him that when you fight the battle with Kauravas, I'll be on Pandava's side, on the flag of Arjuna, Pandavas. I'll give out the war cry along with you, Bhima. He told him. So that is the story of how Hanuman came there. In this way, the Pandavas are so intelligent that they accumulated fortune after fortune in their life. Devotees also should be intelligent to accumulate blessing after blessing from Krishna, from devotees, by surrendering to the injunctions of the Shastra. The more we accumulate fortune in our life, we become very solidly protected and sheltered and safe and secure. And our going back to Godhead will be assured by that. And victory is assured surely. In this way, Pandava was guided by Krishna, were thoroughly protected by Krishna. As I told you till now, that all the signs of auspiciousness were there on the Pandava's side. So in this way, they are already protected. Everything is powerful on their side. But if there was any deficiency, there was always Krishna there to offer, the protection to make up for the deficiency. Krishna was available always. For example, you all know this pastime of Krishna and Arjuna going around the Kandava Prastha forest, right? And then shooting arrows, and all the demons were coming out, they were shooting and killing everything. That time, what happened? And there was an Takshaka who used to live in that jungle. So when the fire was ablaze, Indra was a friend of Takshaka. So Indra did not want Agni to burn the forest, because Takshaka would also get burned. Indra would pour heavy rain. But what Arjuna did, he made a huge arrangement of arrows, like a big wheel, so not a drop of water would come into the forest. So water couldn't come. So the forest was ablaze. Agni was devouring the forest. That time, Indra was probably not aware. That time Takshaka was out of station. He was not there. So Takshaka's wife and children were there. So when Takshaka's wife flew in the air, Arjuna shot with the arrow and killed also. And Takshaka's one more brother also. Takshaka's one son was shot. But there was one son of Takshaka who remained, who escaped from that without being killed by Arjuna. His name was Ashwasena. He survived. But he had a vengeance towards Arjuna in his heart. So what he did later on, when Mahabharata battle was going on, invisibly this Ashwasena, he entered into the quiver of Karna. And also not only he entered into the quiver, he was controlling the mind of Karna. Can you imagine? See, in those days, people had such kind of yogic powers by which they can, for example, I want to give you something. I can control your mind to make your mind want it. I want to sell a book to you. I bring a Bhagavad Gita here. Control your mind. Then you look at the book. I want that book. Please give me. We'll take it. I could control people's mind like that. Can you imagine? What the yogic practice people had. This Ashwasena, talk about the quiver. But he also was sending signals to the mind of Karna. Karna was instructed to pick up that particular arrow into which Ashwasena had entered, Nagastra. And why he picked up Nagastra? Because he saw Arjuna was practically invincible, very difficult to defeat. And he thought that, let me take the Nagastra. He became inspired and he picked up. And when he placed it on his bow, even before he sent it, the arrow was jumping with great enthusiasm. Even Karna was wondering, what is this? And Ashwasena fled. He flew very fast, extending his poke the tongue outside, this, in order to kill Arjuna. When Krishna saw it, a very deadly arrow is coming. Actually, Arjuna could not even understand what's happening to him. Krishna put his foot one cubit down, that he touched the chariot, and the chariot went down. And Arjuna's mukut was hit by the Ashwasena, and it flew to the ground, and it fell on the ground, and all the diamonds and jewels that were embedded in the crown, they all scattered like hundreds of stars in the sky. They were scattered, and Arjuna saw, my Lord, such a powerful arrow. He felt a little ego problem, that my mukut was gone. Krishna said, don't feel any ego problem, your head must be gone. Only your mukut is gone now. He said, very dangerous arrow it was. Immediately Arjuna tied his hair, and again he got ready. So Ashwasena felt very sorry that he could not cut off the neck of Arjuna. Again he flew back to Karna, and Karna was choosing another arrow, And Ashwasena said, wait a minute, Karna. Do you know who I am? He said, I am Ashwasena, I am son of Takshaka. I already had I wanted to take revenge on Arjuna, and I couldn't do it in the first arrow. You can again use me, he said. When Karna heard, he became wild. He said, I will never take the help of anyone else. Why should I depend on you? Get lost from here, he said. And besides that, he said, I have a policy of never using the arrow for the second time. I already used you once, get out from here, he said. And some other. Then Ashwasena thought, okay, if you will not send me, then I will go myself. He himself started aiming at himself, he started going towards Arjuna. And Arjuna took six crescent shaped arrows and hit him from all directions and killed him. And Ashwasena snake was cut into multiple pieces and thrown away here and there. Because at that time Arjuna became more conscious because Krishna guided him. So, why I quoted this past time, if a devotee he has some lacking, Krishna will compensate for it. Like all Krishna does is little inattentive. Mahaprabhu compensates for it by pulling his shikha and catching him and taking him back, isn't it? So sometimes a devotee is a little inattentive and Krishna may give a slap to a devotee and wake him up and take him back. Why sometimes devotees do sufferings in life? Sometimes Krishna gives a dose in order to save the devotee from some danger. So in this way we can find ultimately Krishna brings success to a devotee. There was one devotee in Prabhupada's times, his name was Haigriva Prabhu. He used to have a long beard and long hair. He was a very great writer and specialist in English grammar and editing and proofreading and all that. Once Prabhupada had called for him and he was becoming a sort of devotee. He was becoming attracted to Swami from the East. So Prabhupada said, I have some little work to do, some editing and proofreading. Can you help me? And he said, yes, Swamiji, why not? That's my main field. So Prabhupada took him to his room and he opened the cupboard. The whole cupboard was filled with bunches and bunches of manuscripts. And Prabhupada said, these are things. And that man was stunned. So much? You have written? Prabhupada has been writing 40 years of preparation, lifetime in preparation, before he went to the West. And Prabhupada said, yeah, and this is only some amount, I have much more than this. Anyway, he started helping Prabhupada, editing, proofreading, all the small books he read, they were all edited by Haigriva Prabhu, very beautiful English and everything. So Prabhupada was very, very grateful to him, because he polished the English and he made it very attractive. And later on, Haigriva Prabhu, as years passed by, even in the time of Prabhupada, he became weak in his spiritual life. And he left Prabhupada. Many devotees tried to get him back, they couldn't get it. But one good thing about Haigriva Prabhu was he was never offensive to devotees. He was never offensive to Prabhupada either. He always said that it is my weak-heartedness because of which I have left. So, sometimes devotees while going on Harinam, they will find him on the way. And Hari Prabhu would ask them, you know, he would tell them, how is Prabhupada, how are things at our temple? He identified with the temple, but he had no strength to be a devotee. And then when they would go back, they would tell Prabhupada, Prabhupada, we saw Hari Prabhu. How is poor Hayagriva? Prabhupada would ask. You know, someday he'll come back. And Prabhupada said, surely Krishna will take him back. Prabhupada once said that. Krishna will protect him, Krishna will take him back. So years later, Prabhupada left the planet. And some more years passed. I think it was in the 80s. That suddenly Hari Prabhu got cancer, blood cancer. When he got cancer, immediately he came to know he's going to live only a few months. He rushed to the ISKCON temple. He came running. Now he understood the body is going to be taken away. And he knew, I am not the body, I am the soul. He was quite knowledgeable. But everything, only because of his old asanas coming back, he had gone back. So he came back, he begged the devotees to admit him, and devotees happily took him back. Again he started studying Prabhupada books, started chanting more. And within, of course, by doctor's estimation, he was supposed to live very less, but he lived longer. Some 3 years he lived. In that time, he became so advanced, he took sannyas also. After taking sannyas, at one time he became bedridden, because cancer grew very big. And he became bedridden. And the last days, the realizations that he spoke were so deep and profound. Even today, devotees appreciate so much. He is appreciating about how Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Shikshashtaka, prayers and the mood of gopis in the manjaris and their unmotivated devotion service. These things actually became revealed to him in his heart so wonderfully towards the last days. And he left the world in a very glorious way, and he departed. Jivana Dhanasam Maharaj was telling, we were very sure that he went back to Godhead, he went back to Prabhupada. So, even if a devotee sometimes becomes inattentive, careless, Krishna sends various agents to get a devotee back. Krishna is very... And in order to award the devotee the ultimate success, so the devotee will be ultimately glorious. So in this way, we can show the success is on devotee's side. Now let us see from the karmi's point of view. The karmis consider quite often the religionist or spiritualist to be a failure. If you see often, you know that verse, Janisha Sarva Bhutanam, Tasyam Jagrati Samyami, Tasyam Jagrati Bhutani, Sanisha Pashyatomuni. So there are two types of people. Who are they? What is day for a materialist is night for a spiritualist. What is day for a spiritualist is night for the materialist, he says. Like, you know, we wear tilak, we wear dhoti kurta, we wear kantimala, we take prasad, we jump, dance, sing. And materialist who cannot even dream of doing such a thing. For him, his dream is only money, woman. These two are the prime targets. Money and woman. Like, you heard in Bombay, the bomb blasts are going on. The terrorists, they are throwing bombs in the public, killing people. They are shooting the top-notch police officials. They are holding on to the tourist people, and they are blackmailing them. Using them, they are trying to escape. You know that? What has been happening in the last 2 days? You can see that the materialist, because they identify with the body, for the sake of the body, they are ready to cause so much harm to others and to themselves also, ultimately. You will see like that. And the materialist may consider himself a success because he identifies with the body. When that body is taken away, everything will be finished. So that is why we give that example of the honeybee. The honeybee accumulates a lot of honey, but it's all taken away by the farmer. So Bhagavatam gives the example of another type of honeybee, which never accumulates honey, which only takes little honey. Madhukuri, we say, no? What is madhukuri? Like a honeybee. Madhukuri means go home to home, accept little. Food, that's all. Don't accumulate anything. So this is devotee. Devotee accumulates little, and is satisfied. He doesn't accumulate a huge money in the Swiss bank. He doesn't do that. Why? Because he knows. You know, everything will be taken away at the time of death. So, the materialist point of view, materialists think that the devotee is foolish, you know, he is missing something in life. I am eating, drinking and making merry, but he is not doing all this. So he is missing, he is thinking. The devotees know that a materialist is missing the greatest thing, which is Krishna. You may be missing some little material thing, but they are missing the greatest thing. So you know the story of that Vairagi, one great mendicant went to a king, and the king was glorifying this mendicant. "Oh, my dear great sage, you are a great Tyagi," he told them. The king told him, "You are a Mahatyagi," he told them. And the king was surprised, "Really? I am having all the facilities, I am having queens, I am having elephants, horses, chariots, kingdom, everything. How do you call me a Mahatyagi?" He said, "You are such a great Tyagi, you have renounced Krishna also." He said, "I have only given up the material facilities of the world, you have given up Krishna only." So in this way, the sage was ridiculing him. In the same way, the materialist, they think, Prabhupada wrote this article now, who is crazy? They think we are crazy, we know they are crazy. How can we confidently say that? On the strength of the scriptures we can say that. We are not the body, we are the soul. If you are not the body, then all the investment in the body is like investment in a Diwala bank, isn't it? Sure shot Diwala bank. 100% Diwala bank. Anything you invest in the body, accumulating money, accumulating, bungalows, cars and big job. Like I was telling you this, Rajaraman, Kartikeyan, I was telling you, this man, where he is from South India, he must have been having an opportunity to get good success and everything. He missed the opportunity in his life, he went to the West, he got a great career and he made big money. But see the end. What kind of a life is that? Shooting children, shooting himself, such a useless life. Or somebody may say, "Why are you taking this extreme example of somebody shooting? Is everyone shooting themselves? You are just a..." It's okay. They may not shoot themselves, but they are also called as Atmaha. They are killing themselves. Because when they go to the West, they are doing eating, drinking and making merry. And according to Ishopanishad, they are called as Atma Ha. Ha means killer. Killer of the soul. Who is the killer of the soul? Who knows? What is that word? Eke chatmahano janaha. But suryanamate loka andhena tamasavrataha tamste pityabhigacchanti eke chatmahano janaha. He is saying, asuryanamate loka. There are some loka. Planets called as asurya lokas. Like for example, Kumbhipak, like that, Tamishra, Andhra Tamishra, there are some lokas specially designed for certain living entities as the destination. Asurya nama te loka, andhena tamasa avritaha, they are all covered by ignorance. Tamste, those living entities who are killing themselves go to those asurya planets, he says. Like those who are breaking the four regulative principles. They will go to these planets. Those who are killing the cows. Those who are indulging in adultery. And all kinds of things. They will go to those planets. It's a planet of darkness. Who is Atmaha? Killer of the soul means one who acts against the purpose of the soul. He is called Atmaha. Actually the soul is meant for serving the Lord. Being a devotee. But one who engages the soul in this kind of nefarious, foolish activities, he is called as Atmaha. For example, a cricket bat is used for beating a karak ball. And a spoon is meant for eating gulab jamun. Now if you take a spoon and play cricket with karak ball, what will happen? Your hand will get twisted, strained. I have given this example in the EBG also. One devotee in his lecture, he spoke that very beautiful example. So, the soul should do his activity, isn't it? Which is a natural for him. And he does, like this fellow, he was having a one-sided success in his life. Money, 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 go high, shoot, and die at the end. Isn't it? Yeah, because one-sided, Giridhikashipu, same thing. Want to become, like Prabhupada says about the frog, this much big. exploded. You know that? Yeah, that's a frog story. Huh? Become bigger materially. Eat, drink and be merry. Enjoy, enjoy, control, enjoy. And one day you explode. Isn't it? So, if you carefully, when we are preaching to colleagues in the office, we can show these examples about. Prabhupada says, they may say that, you know, you are talking about the soul, body, you know, you will go to Vaikuntha, who has seen Vaikuntha, who has seen next birth. We will tell them, okay, forget about Vaikuntha, forget about next birth, see this life. So to see our, till our death, how we live, how our devotee lives. You can see that. We are eating the best of the foods. We are eating even materially hygienic food. Cooked by devotees, very clean. We can see everything a devotee does from a material point of view, spiritual point of view. Say, for example, chanting we are doing. It also calms the mind. It also cleans the mind. And it is habits. Devotee has clean habits. It has clean behavior. Following the four related principles, we save ourselves from so many dangerous diseases. Drug addiction, or smoking, or drinking. We avoid so many complexities in the body. Once when Isvaranath Ramaswamy Maharaj was going in the car, and there was a... Yeah, it was put in the board in Bombay in one advertisement. Avoid AIDS, use condom. Like that they had put the board. So there was a picture of a man, woman and all that. So Brahmachari was sitting and Maharaj asked him, did you see that advertisement? No, Maharaj, I didn't see Maharaj. I said, no, see it. And what is written there? He asked him. Then he read out, avoid AIDS, use condom. Maharaj said, avoid AIDS, be Brahmachari. No? That's funny. So, the Maharaj was telling him subsequently, let's see how our organization has saved us from so many dangers. If we were not the proper devotees, you know, we would have gotten into the wrong tracks. It's very much possible. Smoking, drinking, illicit sex, and all kinds of things. So, from material point of view, we can show to materialistic people what all material advantages we have by being a devotee. And you all can tell. I told you a few. You can tell me more. Yeah. We become responsible in all our duties, studies. Yeah. Note. Yeah. Yeah. The if you say vulgar music, they say no. It should be enjoyable. They will say. You can say the rock music is played at 110 decibels. You can see the heart beating, you have seen that? So, medical science has shown, medical research, that this 110 decibels music, it throws off a human being from his biological harmony on the body. So, the doctors say it is like putting a man in rickshaw and toppling the rickshaw. It's like that, hearing that music. Doctors say that. Yeah. There is a biological rhythm of the body. It throws off one from the rhythm. And also it makes the ears deaf. There is a hearing loss, hearing that music. But when you hear classical music, there are even proofs that even plants respond to the classical music. They have experiments in America. They have plants for which they put classical music, they blossom, grow. They have flowers and fruits and everything. Other plants which hear rock music, they dry. They have experiments. Yeah. Plants are responding to that. Yeah. You can quote that. That also, yeah. Crystals, no? Yeah, correct. There are many examples like that. Yeah. What else? Any other material? Less? Less mental agitation. Which means that a devotee is taught what is tolerance. And that was, what is that was? Matra Asparshastu Kaunteya. Agama apayino anityaha. Things will come, stay for a while and they'll go away. Arms to the Kshatsu Bharata. So if this Rajaraman was telling you, if he heard our classes and everything, he would have been tolerant when he faced a failure. There was one devotee who was also having big business. He was from Goa. He started one business and he started two, three, four, almost four, five businesses he had. He was just a normal average man in society. He became lakhpati, he became karodpati. And he didn't have to do any work, just move from one place to another and just keep watching. Suddenly his business collapsed. And he also became completely like blackout. He didn't know what to do, he went almost mad. So somebody was telling, where was it? In Pune only, there was a big hotelier. When the hotel business collapsed, he became a madman. And right now, nowadays, he has become a bum right opposite to that hotel. He looks at the hotel and keeps laughing. Like that he keeps doing. He has become like a bum kind of thing. You've seen bums, no? This fellow has become a bum. So that fellow whom I told in Goa, he didn't become a bum. When he lost money, he was planning to commit suicide. That time he met devotees. He got a book. Then he came to Bombay, he met Devam Prabhu and other people. Then he started Sanskrit rounds, he became an initiated devotee after that. I don't want to mention the name, I know him personally. So later on when I met him, he was telling me, if I didn't meet the devotees, within that subsequent week, I would be dead, he said. Somehow I got a book, I read a book and I became devotee, he said. So we can say, becoming a devotee saves you from suicide. I say that also, isn't it? You say you experience real things, they will say that you also have a lot of tension, you know, you have to get up in the morning, you have to chant your rounds, you know, you can't eat here, you can't eat there, you can't go here, you can't go there, you can't mix with people, you know, you are keeping yourself aloof. They will say, no? I see that you are also getting tension, you are also getting anger. They will say like that. Correct, no? We are not pure devotees to be completely free. They'll say, what we can tell them is, it is true, you know, I am at least taking the medicine, I am getting cured. You are refusing to take the medicine. That is your problem. Isn't it? So for example, there are two patients. Say, for example, I have headache and stomachache, you have headache and stomachache. You both are vomiting. You are vomiting, I am vomiting. Both are suffering. And that's why both are arguing also. And people are asking, you are also vomiting, he's also vomiting. And you tell him, you are vomiting and you also vomit. That's the big difference. What is it? I have taken the medicine. After 2 days, I will be completely well. What about you? That we can say. But you are refusing to take medicine, you will continue to suffer for a much longer time. And you can see that in a jail also, if a person becomes a surgeon, gentleman, you know, he'll be released very quickly. But if somebody is very much rebellious to the police, his term will be increased in the jail, correct? Similarly, if you are opposing Lord's plan, then you are likely to continue for a longer time. But if you submit to the Lord and surrender to him, my dear Lord, now I'm hands up. Now I understood everything. What did you say I will do? Karishe, Vashnam Tava. Then Vaikuntha airplane will come to take you. So very easy to understand. That is a good point to tell them. A lot of money is saved. That's very true. You know, Premnidhi Prabhu, we all know, he used to tell, there was a boy who used to come for the program, one of his friends who used to spend particularly 4,000-5,000 rupees in those days. That boy, when he became a devotee, practically his expenditure became one-fourth or so. His father was shocked. His father would tell him, I used to send you money, you used to ask for 2,000 rupees more every month. So how did your expenditure become so low? Father was shocked. So a non-devotee lives very lavishly and spends extravagantly. But a devotee knows everything is Krishna's property. A devotee can adjust in a room like this, 10 devotees can live. Devotee actually opulence for Krishna and a poverty for oneself. Devotee can save a lot of money. Very true. And devotee is not an extravagant spender, so he will not be cheated by the credit cards. Having the credit card and losing a lot of money and working hard like a donkey and everything. And devotee saves time and money both. These are very good points. Oh, really? Then devotees don't fight. Actually, we fight with demons and we go outside and we fight with devotees when they are inside. Huh? Especially in neophyte stage. Fight, neophyte, you know. Even physical fights are not, that's very good, yeah. One thing is, devotees, they may be fighting in a small way, verbal battle or something may be there, but they know that these are impurities. I have to cure. I have to rise above it. But karma is in the office and other things, devotees are generally they behave in a gentlemanly way. Occasionally, they may pick up some small quarrels because they are still impure. But the demons, because they don't have any goal of life, sometimes their quarrel can go out of control. Sometimes in the trains or buses you find people. Sometimes the ego clashes in the office. People become so enemy-centered that they want to throw out somebody from the office. In business circles, people even shoot each other like that. Yeah. So a devotee certainly will not cause such physical harm to others. But verbal abuse may be there, which a devotee over a period of time can improve and rise above it also. Yeah? One can come to a natural state. Very beautiful point. In eating, we come to natural habits. We come back to our natural nature, original nature. There is no, drama. Devotees don't have to brood drama. They can actually behave very naturally. Like, for example, in the karma circle, there is a lot of duplicity. Cunningness, duplicity, impressing one another. You go to these marriages, you go to the parties, wearing coat, shoe, tie, and speaking very artificial, shaking hands. A lot of artificialness is there. Devotees know that Krishna is the master and we all are servants. So they become very simple and natural. Yeah, one more point. They will say, what is the use of principles, throw the principles to the wind, They will say, your principles make our life more difficult, they will say, Actually, I am asking you for points which will convince the materialist. Like he said, that was a powerful point. All the four related principles we can say. They save us from so many health hazards. And they save us from so much suffering, future suffering. Correct. We can say that because we have a clear-cut understanding of ultimate goal of life, we are not confused in our life. We can challenge people. You can look at me, how I live my life. I have clarity of thought. Where am I going? What am I doing? Because of, the pivot is clearly fixed. Now we can align our time management around the pivot very nicely. Devotees can be very clearly, they can make decisions, they can set goals, and they know what they are doing, where are they going. So they have a broader perspective of life, not just taking one small jig in the puzzle, jigsaw puzzle, and not knowing what is it. They know the whole picture of life. Yeah. So they do their spiritual duties, material duties nicely. Yes, correct. This is a good point. A devotee being humble can appreciate others' success. They can celebrate others' success. A devotee. But for non-devotee, if somebody gets success, it is like somebody has grabbed something from my lap, taken away my suitcase or something. They feel like that. My God, how did this become successful? Devotee has no problem. Devotee knows all success are awarded by Krishna, ultimately. Brilliant point it is. Amazing. So Chandramalipur's mood is hot when to try. Wonderful. This is another beautiful example. Devotees can melt the heart of others and make them cry out of joy. Isn't it? Of course, there are devotees like me who make others cry out of fear. There are some devotees like that also. But in general, devotees have very soft hearts because of which they can melt others' hearts. Many non-devotees want to know how this fellow is so happy, peaceful, jolly, cheerful. So devotees have many, many they have many qualities which non-devotees want. Yeah, one more point. Actually, you can tell this thing to devotees, they will appreciate. I am asking about what you will tell your non-devotee colleagues in the company to inspire them to come to God's side. Today we are talking about success and victory for those on God's side. Oh, that's very good. You can say good association, you can say pure association. See, generally people are talking good things, doing better things, talking better things, you know, but you can see our life is refined, pure, you know. So if you join our circle, you can also get a lot of benefits. Yeah, correct. That's very true, yeah. Good manners. Yeah. When they say good manners, they say, oh, you people never talk vulgar words, you are having such a good manners. You also would like to become devotees. Yeah. That is so. Actually, this is a very dangerous way of saying it. If you become guilty, your desires will decrease. You will get shocked. Huh? So, no, I want my desires to be fulfilled and expand my desires. So you can say it slightly differently. Satisfied. That's very good. You are also, when you say satisfied, you have to be careful. You shouldn't say, you are satisfied with practically nothing. You know, if you say, even if you have one penny, you will be satisfied. You say, no, I want to have ambition in life, you know. Because they want to grow. You have seen people talking? They want to grow always. So what you can say, you will be satisfied in your current position. At the same time, you will be ambitious, not over-ambitious. Like Hiranyakashipu was over-ambitious, so he suffered. And materialist people also understand, if you are over-ambitious, then you will suffer. But devotees are ambitious, surely. They are not over-ambitious. You can be ambitious for Krishna, but over-ambition is Pratyahara Prayasascha. For example, you can tell, you know, one who works 16 hours a day and brings about, you know, disease for himself, what is the use? You can say that, you know, you should have time for everything. You should have time for wife and children, time for your personal good health, and you have time for reading and learning more in life, and you should have time for God also. So we are very balanced. When you are balanced, then you are not greedy. Otherwise, if you become over-ambitious, then all the other avenues close down, and only avenue you have is money is honey. Then there's no time for wife and children, no time for personal health, no time for God, no time for relationship, there's no time for anything, and you become one-sided in life. Do you want to become like this? You can ask them. They will say, no, that is foolishness, yes. So become a devotee and be balanced. Like that you can say. Balance they like. But if you say you will be satisfied like Sudama, Brahman, you will wear tattered clothes, oh, that we don't want. We are afraid of that, you know. That is a brilliant point. That's a brilliant point, you can say. You can say, you will not have, you know, hypertension. You can say, if you become a devotee, you will not have hypertension. Why? Because when we chant Hare Krishna, that gives us calm mind. So one thing at a time, that you can teach them. That means eat while you eat, and sleep while you sleep, play while you play. Devotees can do that, but non-devotees, they take home coffees, they take office to home. Taking office to home means whatever problems they have in the office, they come and they break down at home. Or home problems, they take to office and they break down in the office and all that. So you can say you can do one thing at a time, you can go to sleep very quickly. Yeah, that is true. By observing, we have to actually develop such good qualities that by observing devotees, other non-devotees will want to become devotees. In this way, we all can add, we can tell so many points that can inspire the non-devotees to consider changing party from Asura party to Devata party. Bring them to devotees' side. We have to increase the number of devotees in this world. So these are very nice examples we could give, how there is victory. Victory and success only for those on God's side. One last point, in Bhagavatam, there is a verse, you have to read this verse. Kamam vavarsha parjanyah sarva kama dugamahi శిశుచూష్మ ప్రజాంగావః ప్రయసో ఉపస్థీర్ముదా. In this verse it is explained in the reign of Yudhishthira Maharaj and house buzzer filled with milk. It was running here and there and it was pouring down and it was milk kitchen was there everywhere. And the rains were showering in time and the crops are growing, the flowers are blooming, the trees are laden with fruits, the ocean were full of minerals, and the mountain were full of minerals, and the oceans were full of pearls and jewels, navaratna, everything. And people were all cheerful, happy, celebrating festivals. And there were no diseases in people's lives. There were no akala mrityu. People didn't die prematurely in bomb blasts. And there was also widespread happiness. People were exchanging happiness. There was some inexplicable joy amongst the people. Naturally, there was no hypertension or stress in their minds. They were all very peaceful and happy. The reason is given here in the purport. You will find purport is that Yudhishthira Maharaj was such an intelligent king that he knew that if the world has to become happy, yasmin tushtam jagat tushtam, he took refuge in Lord Krishna, and because of that, he says all these wonderful things happened. It's a one-stroke method. He is Krishna, everything becomes wonderful. So it says that the nature was also paying tax to the king. Have you ever heard nature paying tax to the king? People only pay taxes. But nature also pays tax. Why? Because when the king pleases the Lord, then the nature pays the quota of tax to the king. That is said. This is the way to make the nature cooperate with us. Basically what we have to cooperate with God and nature if we want to lead a happy life. Because God is Krishna and the nature is his property. So we have to act, align ourselves in harmony with both. Then we can be happy. So, on the other hand, modern man is so foolish. He doesn't want to believe in God or surrender to him. And then Krishna says, oh, you don't believe in me, you don't surrender to me, you are asura. Then he tells the nature, don't award all these resources to the modern man. And when nature doesn't give grains, then what these guys do? They put a lot of fertilizer and try to get out. Get more crops. Like that. They're not getting water, so they're going for boring. 200 feet, 250 feet down to get water. Why you have to go for boring if rains are coming regularly? If the rivers are full with water, there is no problem of need of boring. But why people are... So, nature is mother, she's not giving, so they are going and snatching from the mother, give me, dig from the ground and put artificial fertilizers to extract more from the nature. They have to snatch from the nature. Why? Because they are not obeying God and they are not aligning with nature. Very simple. So the overall, we are finding that the modern day man apparently is on a rat race. He's in a rat race which ultimately is leading him to failure. Like you can see, this recession is a practical example. How man has been very proud of his economic development, and see the result now. Everywhere people are thrown out of jobs. Everywhere people's business is collapsing. People are getting stressed. People are getting heart attacks. And everything is crumbling down. So Prabhupada said, this is modern day society. A godless society can never be happy. You can be very confident of that. So, when we align with God, with everything or with nothing, we can be happy. Because we have God, if you Krishna, you have everything. You know this slogan from Odia. Anybody Odia here? Remember I quoted this Odia slogan. They say, Sabu Tyagibe Taku Paibu, Taku Paile Sabu Paibu. It's in Orissa language. The meaning of this is, the devotees of the Lord, they give up everything. When they go to Krishna, they say, Nadanam, Najanam, Nasundarim, everything they give up and say, Krishna, you pick me up, you are my only property. So, Sabu Chadi Be, Taku Pataku means Jagannath. If you leave everything, you get Lord Jagannath, he says. Taku Pali, if you get Jagannath, you get everything, he's saying. See, what a wonderful logic it is. So, when you give up everything in this world, you go to Krishna, you get Krishna. మించిన వంచుదుకు అర్కించన నమో అర్కించన వెన్ యూ బికమ్ అర్కించన యూ గెట్ కృష్ణ అల్టిమేట్లీ బట్ వెన్ యూ గెట్ కృష్ణ దెన్ కృష్ణ సెండ్స్ ఎవ్రీథింగ్ హీ గివ్స్ యూ ఆల్ ఫెసిలిటీస్ గివ్స్ యూ ఫుడ్ క్లోదింగ్ షెల్టర్ ప్రొటెక్షన్ ఎవ్రీథింగ్ ఈ సెన్స్ యూ లైక్ దాట్ దట్స్ మీనింగ్ ఆఫ్ డివోటీ డివోటీ కెన్ బి ద మోస్ట్ హ్యాపీ ఇన్ విష్ణు మహారాజ్ ఇస్ ఎగ్జాంపుల్ ఆఫ్ అ కింగ్ హు వాస్ ఆన్ కృష్ణ సైడ్ నాట్ ఓన్లీ హీ వాస్ ఆన్ కృష్ణ సైడ్ కృష్ణ కేమ్ అండ్ లివ్డ్ ఇన్ హిస్ హౌస్ personally lived in his palace. In fact, sages and saints in the forest, they were doing meditation. They saw Krishna was not coming there, so they had to come to Yudhishthira's palace to come and get darshan of Krishna. He was such a great devotee. He was. So in this way, those who are on God's side attain the ultimate victory, both in this world, and then when they leave the body, they enter the spiritual world where they eternally engage in Lord's service. How fortunate they are, you can see. So we have to systematically understand like this, about success and victory for a devotee, even in the material world. Because while preaching to the materialists, we should be able to quote these examples. So this BG from corporate teams which we are talking, I am speaking them in such a way that half of it is completely spiritual, and other half is suitable for the modern man's mind. That's how I am speaking these lectures. These are very important, actually. Because when you are going to the company circle, many times devotees feel themselves handicapped because they don't know what to speak. You know, you cannot tell the direct philosophy to them. If you tell them surrender to Krishna, it's difficult to tell them. So we could speak topics like this, very interesting. Like on a lunch time or something, you sit with the devotees and tell them that, you know, you can even throw this bomb. What is the bomb? Victory and success is one for those on God's side. What do you say? You can ask them. And they say, how can you say that? They will ask you. Then you start with Bhagavad Gita. No? You quote some verses, tell Arjuna, Pandavas and Kauravas. You begin from here, gradually develop the subject, and you can talk other many, many things you can talk. But Bhagavad Gita ki, Shri Prabhupada ki, Prabhupada ki, I have to rush to temple.